At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
Sunday, May 26th, the greatest spectacle in racing returns. The Indianapolis 500 on NBC and Peacock. 33 of the world's fastest drivers go head-to-head for a chance to kiss the bricks, taste the milk, and claim their place in racing history. Experience the drama, the pageantry, the tradition. Live from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, the Indy 500. Sunday, May 26th on NBC and Peacock. Or listen on SiriusXM NBC Sports Channel.
More interviews with incoming NFL prospects from the scouting combine in Indianapolis. Joining us now, Alabama edge rusher Dallas.
This is the guy right Turner. Here, right here.
The man. He's the man. Him.
The man. The edge rusher supreme.
Yes, sir.
Right? All the guy that's been getting the hype the last few years, right? It's all you. We all saw you coming. Here you are. What's up? Oh, you like
he's
it? Like,
I just, I like he just it. See, he's sitting there like he wants to suit up right now and knock you on your ass.
You see these right here? This is one thing I know. He's from Florida. Florida guys love the lights. Always. They love it. No, I mean it in the most respectful way. You're ready for game time. You're never shy away. And I can tell you got a personality that, you know, is infectious a little bit.
I mean, yeah, you know, growing up in South Florida, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I was five, so, you know, just used to it now, you know, just being myself. So
went to St. Thomas Aquinas, which is a powerhouse down there in Florida, right? Who'd you have on your high school team that we would know of?
Because
it's that Tim Tebow school, right? I mean, their name one, right? I mean, who else did you have back in the day? It's been a lot of guys that have come out of that school.
The Bosa brothers.
Yeah, the Bosa brothers, right? I knew I was missing somebody.
Philip
obvious.
Philip Dorsett.
Man.
Michael Irvin. It's really a bunch of guys.
Yeah, no, it's too many. Well, that was good enough. That was a good start right there.
How you feeling so far this week?
No, feeling blessed, man. You know, it's an honor to be here. You know, just having fun, just soaking everything in. You know, I've been dreaming about stuff like this since I was a kid. So, you know, it's just everything just falling into place.
You doing everything tomorrow?
No, I was going to do the 40, the vertical jump, and positional jump.
Okay, that's all we care about, really. So. I mean, okay, so that'll do it all.
Yeah.
All right, so That's what was your you like? I'm always interested in a guy like you, projected top 20 pick, whatever, right? Sometimes guys like you shy away and go, wait, I'm already kind of up there. I don't need to do these things. It can only hurt me. What made you go, all right, I'm going to go for it?
You know, I feel like I'm never too good to do nothing, no matter like what type of status people say I have. So, you know, I always just want to showcase my abilities. So, like, you know, always stay humble and, you know, just always just been working. So,
yeah. Well, you got to feel for the 40 tomorrow. Like, we've had a few, right, that have come and like Chop said he was going to run 4.4, right? You know, you got to – I don't want to put you on the spot, but a range you think you're going to hit
tomorrow? I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm putting you on the spot.
Well, see, I don't, wanna, how he does I don't it. Need to, like, I'm going to run 4.43, but, like, you know, a general range.
Probably the same range of 4.4.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's why you're running the 40, because you know you could show out tomorrow. I know the game.
Hey, how surprised were you when Nick Saban decided to call it quits? We were talking to Chris Braswell earlier about it and thought get your reaction to it as well.
You know, like, when I seen the news, I was like, wow, like, happened, but like you know, I kind of wasn't surprised at the same time. You know, he's been coaching since before I was even born, so like, you know, I kind of understood it, you know, kind of just had to just soak it in and stuff. But you know, he left a legacy, you know, that will never be matched at the University of Alabama, in my opinion.
Did you sense anything last season, like when it happened, like, ah, you know what, he said this and he did this? There was some little breadcrumb trail.
It was nothing too crazy, but like, it was more of, I would say probably last year it was more of like a player-led team, in my opinion. So like, it was like a lot of the leaders stepped up and like held the players more accountable, so like he didn't really have to do it. So like, it was really just more of a, I seen it but I didn't at the same time. So
like, in hindsight, you're like, yeah, you know what, maybe there was, maybe he was kind of pulling the train into the station,
but in the moment I wasn't thinking of it. I wasn't expecting
Gotcha.
it.
Gotcha.
What's your best Saban story?
yeah
And we want to hear it along the lines of a time that he really tore into you.
Yeah,
that's what we're looking for.
Best, like, I have a
very good. Now you say Astro. I have an Astro moment. So it was actually last season, like the first time he really like got on me. But like I knew it was all love because like he just
wants the best for you.
Yeah, he was kept going. So like we have a during our warm-ups, we sprint from during our mobile warm-ups, we sprint from sideline to sideline. We like do our little jog from sideline to sideline or whatever. And so, but before, it was during fall camp, but before we do our warm-ups, typically we do a walkthrough. So we do a walkthrough, and it's like a 25% walkthrough with the ones and stuff.
Right.
But it's really a jog-through for real. But so it was a play where I messed up on. But, like, he knows, like, I don't really mess up on plays, of course. So, like, from the walkthrough to the end of that warm-up, he was giving it to me the whole time. So, like, for, like, 20 minutes straight. But, like, so he was stood next to the line I was in from going back and forth.
Right.
And, like, every single time I passed him, he was saying something.
He was still talking.
Yeah, he was still talking. But, like, he waited till I passed him to say something.
Oh,
and
right.
When I touched that sideline and came back, he's saying something. And then, you know, it was the same.
But so, like, you could barely kind of hear some of the things
I heard
he
everything
said.
He was saying, though. But
so,
like,
give me, what was it? Like,
I was supposed to take the back out.
Right.
And so, you didn't take the back out? You know you're supposed to take the back out. Like, he was just egging it on and on and
right.
on. But, like, I didn't take it personally. Like, that's like,
yeah,
you got to accept the hard coaching for real.
Yeah,
and
right.
that's how you know that he really like you for real. You know, when he really tries to get on you the hardest because you know he the potential that you have and how good you are as a player.
Yeah,
so like, he just holds you to a higher pedestal. I'll say that.
You're super freaky athlete. I know that, right? You know who else were you the freakiest athlete on the team this year at Alabama?
No, we had a lot of freaks actually. We had
let me hear him.
Chris Braswell.
Yeah, right.
Caleb Downs. Jaheim Otis, in my opinion, it was the whole defense for real.
So you got guys like Deontay
Lawson, Jahari Campbell, Malachi Moore, both of our corners.
Right.
Both of our safeties, Caleb Downs and Jalen Key, Christian Story, Jamarian Latham. And we had a lot of dudes that was free that didn't play, like Keanu Coote, and just a whole bunch of other guys.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was like it was normal because we've seen it every day.
Yeah, yeah. You guys are Alabama. Yeah. I know. You're spoiled. You're very spoiled that way. What? All right. So NFL. Who's your idol? Who's your guy that you look at as a pass rusher? You're like, I want to be like him, or you know.
Honestly, I take a lot of game from a lot of different people, so I can't really say I model myself after one specific person. But I watch a lot of guys like Daniel Hunter, Nick Bosa, Khalil Mack, even Will.
Yeah,
I watch Will a lot.
Right.
Them dudes at the Dolphins, Van Ginkle, Bradley Chubb, and Jalen Phillips.
Jalen Phillips, yeah.
Still watch a lot of Von Miller still.
I was going to say, you have a Von Miller build.
Yeah, so
right?
I still watch a lot of him.
Yeah.
And really just everybody for real. Yeah. Like, it's no specific person, actually. But like,
take what you can get from anybody.
Yeah, but I try and make it into my own way.
Gotcha. You know? Yeah. Gotcha.
What's the best advice you've gotten as you get ready to go to the NFL?
Actually, yesterday, Alonzo Highsmith told me, be mature about your business so you could – live life that you want to live after.
Yeah.
So, like, it's basically, like, sacrifice now so you live in paradise later.
Yeah.
So it's in a way, like, you know, you don't want to come in the NFL and just – you want to get straight, be a professional off-rip. You know, you don't want to have any, like, slumps about, you know, people questioning how hard you work. And, you know, you just want to – you try to sacrifice your time and be a professional about your business. So
that's good advice.
It is. Yeah. This is similar to what I kind of just told Jared Verse a few minutes ago, right? He kind of asked the same thing. Like, don't have any regrets, man. It's a short life. It's
a short
career.
Yeah.
It ain't like you're going to be a doctor and you can be 65 and still be doing it, right?
So.
Even if you play 15 years, you're like, damn, that was gone like that.
Yeah.
My dad played 15 years.
That's how college
He wanted 16, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the way it is. So, yeah, I hear you there, man. It sounds good, man.
Yes,
kick
sir.
Some ass that way.
Appreciate it.
Who's the guy you can't wait to just absolutely annihilate in the NFL? You want to sack him? Right, or get, you know, who's the guy you're excited to see on the field, on the offensive side of the ball at least?
It's a couple guys that I want to hit, I'm
going
to be honest. So it's Pat Mahomes, of course.
Right, he's about the fourth one we've had today.
I want to say, this is probably my favorite quarterback, but Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
you know, I'll probably be.
You might
I might say,
I
might be, but you know, it's just like, you know, seeing him, you know, he's from the same place,
Brown
County.
Right, that's right.
So it was just like well, I just sat Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
It'll probably be more feeling like that. It's Bryce for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I always wanted to hit Bryce.
Never got to hit him in practice. You're like, now's my chance to get him.
Yeah,
like
it's a whole bunch of guys, though, you know. But,
those three good ones. I like it.
How closely did you follow Bryce's rookie year? I mean, it was a little rocky.
Yeah. But just knowing the person that Bryce is, you know, over time, you know, I feel like it's gonna all come together for him. You know, just being there in college with him, seeing him how he works every single day. You know, he's been, in my opinion, he's been the pro since I've been there. You know, always putting in extra time, extra work, and extra effort in what he does, and really just handle his business very serious and being professional off the rip, in my opinion. But, you know, just seeing him, you know, being embarrassed by him in practice sometimes, you know, him scoring every single time in 2 minutes, you know, it's just like it's bound for something good for happening in the NFL for sure.
What team did you follow as a kid?
I had a cousin that played for the Jets when I was, like, from 5 to 8.
Oh.
So, like, it was really
– Who was it?
Wallace Wright.
Okay.
Yeah, so I followed him a lot.
And then you realized the Jets weren't very good.
Yeah. Okay. But, like, really, honestly, I watched more basketball than I did football growing up.
Oh, really?
But I watched a lot of college football, too. So I'll say that, but, yeah.
All right, so 6'4", what'd you weigh in at?
Right now I'm at 248.
248. All right, so you're a little bigger than what you – played at, right?
No, I played at 255.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, so I was actually a little
smarter. So we're ready for that 4-4 tomorrow. Yeah. He's ready for it. See? Shed a few pounds. Okay. All right. What's the biggest thing you look at in your game, right, where you just go, I need to up this area in my game for the NFL? What have you been trying to, like, work on or hone in on a little bit?
Probably tightening up on my technique a lot more, you know, and, like, my hands and striking in the run fit. And, you know, just hand placement in general and pass rush, too.
Right.
So, you know, I really just but really everything for real, of course. But, you know, probably just the technique.
Hand stuff
a lot of hand stuff for real, in my opinion. And, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. It seems to be the number one thing the college guys talk about.
Yeah.
And how does that happen? Just because through workouts you start to realize, wait, I need to do this better? Or the people start to tell you, hey, the O-line's better or whatever?
I mean, honestly, like, you know, you're going against guys like Trent Williams now in the NFL, and, you know.
He's gonna be on
Dawkins
you.
And right. Like just a whole bunch of grown men that's been there, done that. So like you know you gotta be on your best game. You know you can't be the same player you was in college. You gotta elevate, of course.
Yeah.
So you know it's just like a different type of talent level in the NFL that you know some of the stuff that you did in college you might get away with, but you can't get away with it in the NFL. So you know, it's more of an aspect like that. So.
Yeah,
we got the right attitude. And you got the right approach. You've done great so far. We can't wait to see what you do at the next level. Dallas Turner.
How did you get the name Dallas from Florida? How did that happen?
I don't know. I'll be honest, but I got a little brother named Denver.
Okay. Yeah, so the D in the cities was cool with mom.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, you know, it was a little trickle effect between me and my brothers.
Okay.
Dallas
needs a pass rusher.
All the best, Dallas. Yeah, that's true. More PFT Live after this. Indianapolis at the Scouting Combine.
Cold and windy.
Some good stuff with Troy Vincent earlier.
Yeah, we did.
Some good stuff.
Great stuff.
Made a little news.
Yeah, should.
See if they pay attention. More news than Taylor Swift making Pop-Tarts for the Chiefs offensive line, at least more relevant to the game, although we'll take whatever
cool.
we can get.
Maybe not as cool.
We'll take whatever we can get, because that really was everywhere. Everywhere.
Insane.
You were hearing about it. My wife was sending me clips on the Today Show. It's on People. It's on here. It's on there. It's everywhere.
I know. I saw a bunch
ESPN
yesterday.
ESPN even held their nose and had a story
about it.
Gave us credit and
Whoa,
named us. What's the world coming to?
That's when you know. When ESPN starts to give anybody credit than ESPN, you know it's like, whoa, okay. That did move the needle a little bit.
All right. We're going to give a little credit now to Connor Hughes of SNY.TV, or maybe blame. This was the other Mecole Hardman thing that I was talking about earlier before we had Troy Vincent.
Right.
Connor Hughes tweeted this last night or posted it on X.
Yep.
This is the full post. I'm told there was validated belief from the Jets that receiver Mecole Hardman, frustrated by his lack of usage, leaked game plans to the opposition as implied by several players, most notably Sauce Gardner, today. And there was a tweet or a post from Gardner to that effect. Not just the Eagles game, also the Chiefs. Ironically, although that might not be the right usage of the word ironic, the Eagles' victory was arguably the best of the season for the Jets, while Zach Wilson enjoyed the best game of his career against the Chiefs. That's a hell of an accusation.
It's incredible.
Incredible. We've talked about this before. I have no formal journalistic training, and it shows. But I have learned over the years there are certain things where if you're going to put that out there, you better ask the team. You better ask the player.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
or his representative.
Where is it? I know we got a quote there, and we got somebody else that played on the team that added another quote. But I mean,
I don't know what validated belief means. There was validated belief from the Jets. I don't know what that means. We have the Sauce Gardner tweet that I think started all this or led to this. We're not going to talk about how our offensive game plan was leaked against the Eagles, though. And that's a response to the Mecole Hardman stuff that the Jets weren't practicing and performing and acting like a championship team should do. And it was viewed as sour grapes. But so that Gardner tweet came after that. And now, after that, this Connor Hughes post that, I don't know, it just feels like
leaked. I mean, that's a big Jets problem then. That means it's like somebody, I mean, it's somebody in the offensive side of the ball for sure. I don't even understand. I mean, that's like huge accusation, huge. And then I do have a little bit of like, wait, in the Chiefs and the Eagles game, you mean when the Jets played their best, that's when it was leaked? Like, that was the best they looked all year.
But just the idea that, like, and I don't know, is it impossible to envision a guy being so frustrated with his lack of usage that he just says, screw this place, they're not getting me on the field, I'll show them.
Are they accusing Mecole Hardman?
Yes. Validated belief from the Jets that Mecole Hardman, frustrated by his lack of usage, leaked game plans to the opposition. That's what was in the post.
Gosh.
Now, and again, if you're going to do that, you better ask Mecole Hardman and or his representatives for a chance. Give them a chance to comment. Give them a chance to say we deny it. They probably will, even if it's true. But that's just a lot to put out there on a guy without doing a little homework. And that's why I couched it all that way, because once it's reported, how can you ignore that?
Yeah, no, that's a big deal.
And we said it's not proven.
It's a career ender.
They haven't responded yet.
It's a career ender.
As the guy's starting to become a free agent again. Days away from free agency.
So I don't know if I totally buy this. They got to throw me a little bit more, you know, information or some more substantial facts here for me. Just leaked? Like, how did they leak it? Did he bring it over to the Eagles or the Chiefs? Did he tell them, hey, we're going to throw to this guy today? Or we're going to – I mean, I don't understand. Here's my first base comment and thought off of this, right? Like – you don't need to have a leak to figure out the Jets offense, all right? I mean, that would be my first thing. Or the slant, flat. I mean, come on. Their offense is as basic as it could be in a lot of ways this past year. Their offensive line gave them issues. They had to go back to basics. You know, they didn't trust Zach Wilson. So this wasn't like, the Eagles defensive coaching staff and the Chiefs defensive coach, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, come on. We talked about all year that Jets offense was one of the more ordinary offenses in football schematically for a bunch of reasons to go into that.
Here's the bigger issue, though.
Yeah.
And it speaks to something that I bang the drum about from time to time.
Yeah.
It just shows you how easy it is for someone to give inside information to anybody for whatever reason.
Right.
I'm acting on a vendetta against the Jets because they're not using me, so I'm going to tell my old friends from the Chiefs what they're going to do. Or maybe I'm going to make a little money on the side, and I'm going to tell somebody who wants to know, hey, this prop bet, over under rushing yards, should I take the over or the under based upon the game plan for this week? Who's the receiver that's going to be featured? What are we doing here? What's the, you know, there's a lot of stuff that if a player is so motivated to ignore the things that we just assume, that we take for granted, are part of the football code, you can have a big problem in the NFL.
That's a rare one there. I mean, I've never heard that type of accusation. Those are strong words, strong comments. They better show me some more info before I start to dive into this anymore.
But think about the way.
And again, it shows you too. Hey, inside info, blah, blah, blah. You think you're, I'm going to get money off the Eagles and Chiefs game? Well, he would have lost both of those. He would have lost money on both of those, even if he tried to set it up or do that.
But it's just he's trying to help us. He's pissed off, and this is the way he's acting now.
I know.
That's the idea. He's upset. So he's got friends on the Eagles, apparently, that he's talking to. He's got friends on the Chiefs he's talking to. That's the way it's couched.
Right.
But I read North Dallas 40 recently, and it's something you should read. There were a couple of lines in there that made me think of you. And there, the themes and the ideas and the concepts are still resonating today.
Sure.
And one of the realities, because the main character is a backup receiver who's trying to get onto the field, and he's better than the guy that's playing, but it's political.
Yeah, right.
The coach is keeping him down because he's a hippie and he smokes weed.
Yeah,
and
So I've seen the movie.
so he finds himself rooting against the team.
Yeah.
When the guy ahead of him on the depth chart is playing, because he knows if they struggle and they fall behind, they'll turn to him because he's better.
Right.
So you get all sorts of weird human emotions that come up. That you've got the team concept, you've got me,
I want to play. I want a chance to play.
Yeah, it's
so
real
I'm
dynamic.
Rooting against the
yeah.
off. I'm secretly rooting against the offense.
Yeah.
So I can play.
Right.
So you never know what's going to motivate a guy to do what he does.
No, I hear you. Listen, it's a hard part of the game. There is some of that going on, right? I mean, I definitely had some thoughts like that in my career as a backup. I'm not going to lie, right? I remember sitting there. I was playing in the Denver Broncos and a backup to Kyle Orton, right? And it was the year Broncos, we started out 6-0. Kyle was not really playing well, right? We kept winning these damn games. I'm like, damn, if we just lost one of these freaking games here, they're going to make me the guy.
See, you right? should have leaked the game plan.
Apparently. I mean, I guess not. That's what I should have done. But I remember, you might remember this. We beat the Cowboys, right? And, you know, like I said, Orton was still getting used to the offense. He wasn't playing very good, but we were winning the game. He throws a jump ball to Brandon Marshall, and you might remember this. He catches it. I mean, he breaks like 20 tackles and runs in for like the game-winning touchdown. I mean, it was like a Madden play, a video game. You were like, what? Was that real? Right? But later on, he comes over my house that night, and I'm like, man, if you don't do that, I'm starting next week. You're starting next week. You freaking Brandon Marshall. Yeah, because you know me. I threw out swears to him and all that.
Yeah.
But listen, there is that right there. But at the same time, even though I wanted to play, and maybe I was a little like, I wish Orton would throw an interception here so I can get in the game. Gosh, I love so many other guys on the team, my coaches, all that. I didn't want us to lose. I didn't want that. I really didn't. I say that all. Like I love Josh McDaniels. I love Brandon Marshall. You know, I like Kyle Orton in a lot of ways. I really did. I just wanted to play, right? So there is it's a weird mental struggle, especially at the quarterback position. If you're really talented, or maybe in a receiver and you're really talented, and you know you can't get on the field, that's tough.
If you believe you're better than the guy that's ahead of you, right. And you're not getting opportunities, yeah. And there's political stuff happening,
sure.
It's human nature to start thinking about stuff. And the question is, do you act on it? Then it becomes a character issue.
Yeah.
The idea pops into your head. That's natural. Acting on it is unnatural. It goes against
right.
your character
that's
if you
right.
have good character. And that's why, for this, I'd like to hear from Hardman. I'd like to hear from his agent. I'd like to hear from the Jets. But this is what Connor Hughes
I would think we're
going to
hear from
there.
Hardman here in
so
the next 24
hours, right?
You can't
stand
yeah.
silent
right.
after something like this is put out there. Next, Zach Wilson, Jets quarterback, was granted permission to seek a trade. Okay, who's going to trade for him?
Exactly.
His salary is guaranteed this year. They're stuck. They're going to have to cut him.
Right.
And they're going to have to eat the difference. And if anybody even, I'm sure somebody would sign him to a minimum salary type of a contract,
sure. right.
but they're not going to trade that contract.
No way. Like seek a trade. Like nobody's trading for Zach Wilson. That's not going to happen right now. Now, I think, yeah, more along the lines of what you said. It's a done marriage. Hey, he can sit there and gauge interest and all that. But I think at the end of the day, you're right. He's going to get cut. No, I don't think anybody's even going to really bring in Zach Wilson to be a backup quarterback. Zach Wilson is going to be a rebuild, a reconstruct. Let's make him a third stringer. We know he's got some physical talent. Let's see if we can teach him to play the game and some of the other nuances you need to play quarterback. Right? I could see him being in a place like Kansas City as a third stringer.
That was a thought
Sean
we had
Payton
last year.
Sean Payton as a third stringer.
Yeah.
That's the kind of guy they'll take a flyer on. They'll go, damn, there's some talent there. With my coaching, I'll give him my offense. I get on his mechanics a little. I can maybe have something a few years down the road. That's where I kind of see it going for Zach Wilson.
I could see Andy Reid, the coach of the Chiefs, relishing the opportunity
to
turn Zach
right.
Wilson around.
Right.
Because you see the talent. It's the Bill Walsh thing.
Yeah.
I see him do it
yeah.
one time. I can coach him to do it
that's right.
all the time.
Right.
And we know that there's something there with Zach Wilson, and other things have kept him from being what we have seen glimpses of on a consistent basis.
Yeah, yeah. There is some big-time talent. It's a tough situation he was in. We know that team wasn't very good around him. I think a lot of people saw that finally this year. But, yeah, it is that kind of guy. It's that kind of guy that's going to go, wait, he could be great backup for us. If maybe one day if my starter gets hurt, he can come in and be great. Or, hey, I can build him up to where he's such a good backup. He's so good in the preseason and things like that, where this is Andy Reid has specialized this, where, wait, I got enough quarterbacks here, and then become trade bait to help out their roster. So there's a lot of ways this goes here. But, yeah, trading Zach Wilson, I don't think that happens by any stretch of the imagination, or what do I want to say?
Any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I guess so.
You were there. You were there.
No,
don't give up. Once you're committed, see it through, and then we'll decide on the back end where
it
works.
Usually I see it through. I don't know why that time it just didn't sound right. But yeah,
he's due to make $5.4 million this year, fully guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to get rid of that.
No way.
They're not dumping that $5.4 million. And his cap number this year is $11.1 million.
Wow.
Because he's got the leftover. Sonny was his second overall pick.
That's right.
Even though the second overall pick doesn't get the kind of money the second overall pick got pre-2011, it's still a pretty big contract. It was 4 years, $35 million for Zach Wilson, and they clearly didn't get the return.
I mean, hey, $11 million in dead money, that's two or three players on your roster that, you know, might be backups, quality special teams guys, and now you'll lose that. That's where it's tough.
The NFLPA has a new tradition, a tradition unlike any other.
Kind of cool.
And I like it.
I know you do.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too.
Because it's a way to hold teams accountable. I've seen some people criticize it, like, you know, in lieu of making actual progress for the players, they're doing this and they're acting like it's a big deal. It is a big deal because what they're doing is they're getting input from the players about very specific categories for teams, for owners, for everything.
Yeah.
And we say this time and again, there's no way to hold owners accountable unless they cross a line that causes an investigation that finds sufficient evidence that they push a guy out like Dan Snyder. You can be the worst owner in the NFL and you're still getting as much money from the broadcasting contracts as anyone else. You're still making a profit. People are still coming to your games. I love the idea that they are holding these teams accountable.
I do too.
And the teams that are getting bad marks owe it to themselves to look in the mirror and figure out what we're doing wrong. The idea that and this is the one that is amazing to me, that the Chiefs are 31st among all teams,
right,
and Clark Hunt is 32nd. And the big reason is promises made, promises not kept.
Right. Locker room, facility, right? That was the big thing. What was it? They were weird.
Stools
instead
of chairs.
Some great grades, but then they had other grades that were so low.
But it makes me wonder, what would they be without Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
You take Reid and Mahomes out of the equation, how do you hold this team together? There's the Chiefs report card. Ownership, F-, the Bart Simpson, F-, head coach, A+. Ownership, F-.
Team travel, they don't like that with a D because they're probably on a crappy plane, don't have enough seats for some of the big guys, don't have extra seats, right? Like, I think that was also shocking to me. The training room, right? The weight room, all the little nuances, the nutrition stuff, all of that, they got killed there.
F.
That's where I was shocked. I mean,
you're getting
really
held back,
right,
with that report card.
Yeah, you are.
Does that look familiar to you?
No.
Does that? Are
no,
you sure?
I had good grades, you asshole. Okay, I did.
I just want to make sure you're not having flashbacks when you see that. But you know, what a contrast, though. The Steelers had
the
same thing.
It's rare to see this.
A for Mike Tomlin, F for Art Rooney.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes you have owners who are a little detached.
They're old school.
Aloof, right?
Right.
Don't want to get too close to the players.
Right. Don't want to invest certain money that they think, like, wait, Bradshaw and Jack Hammond, they were okay in 1974, so why aren't we good here? Well, because it's 50 years later and the world's changed, right? Yeah, we don't want to sit on stools anymore. You're making $190 billion a year, right? We don't want a wooden stool when we're sitting there, you know, naked in the locker room.
Free cigarettes at halftime, though.
Right. I mean, but those little things, again, they're so important to the modern-day athlete, and they should be. I mean, we know this. It doesn't matter what sport it is, track and field, football, basketball, baseball. I'm watching a video of LeBron James working out with Myles Garrett the other day. I mean, again, these guys are obsessed, so they know what's right for them. The nutrition, the training, all of that stuff. And obviously there is a disconnect there in Kansas City. It's rare to see a team of that stature have that grade. That's where I was shocked to see that.
Well, I was on radio in Chicago yesterday, and they pointed out, if you watch the quarterback series on Netflix, like all the stuff Patrick Mahomes does on his own dime away from the facility.
Yeah, right.
And implicit in that is there isn't sufficient facilities there for him to get
Stay
what he
there
needs.
And do it, right.
And really, and this speaks to something that I've said time and again. Patrick Mahomes has value to the team that he will never get and value to the game, to the league. When you look at what he means to the Chiefs and what he means to the NFL right now, you could triple his pay and it would still fall short of what he means to the NFL.
Yeah.
And if they didn't have him, and if they didn't have Andy Reid, and this whole Andy Reid thing, and he was here with us the other day, and we didn't want to ask him tough questions. I didn't want to get into the whole retirement thing.
Yeah, right.
Right. And I've tried to make it clear that what I heard is the Chiefs were concerned about the possibility that he would, and they were thinking about who would come next. When you're only paying the guy $12 million, how can you not think, like, I'm not going to go to a different team, but I'll just stop. It's not worth – you're going to pay me half of what Bill Belichick made? Look at what we're doing here.
Right.
And when you see this, this is – you print that off and laminate it if you represent Andy Reid. Hey, Clark, my guy that you're only paying $12 million to per year is keeping you from being a laughingstock.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's your sword and shield.
And, I mean, yeah, you're getting all these playoff checks and playoff money. And, yeah, like you said, it's Mahomes, the Chiefs. They're by far the hottest team in American sports. I mean, kids, women, because of Taylor Swift, all of it. They're killing it. They know they're killing it. I think that probably adds to them writing it down and going, screw them, F minus, right? Yeah. We're killing it out here.
And we can't get this. We can't get this.
And our cafeteria sucks. And we're two people short on the weight room staff to where I want to do something on the other side of the weight room, but we only got two or three guys in here, and they're working with the O-line and D-lineman. So I'm over here with the quarterback and receiver. We'd like a spotter or somebody to help us. But damn, the Hunt family, cheaped out on getting two more strength coaches, and that's the crap that will drive players crazy, especially professionals like them.
Generally, I'm sure there are other possibilities, but I see two primary ways that an owner could respond to this.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just sour grapes. Oh, it's just a few loud voices. Oh, well, they'll never make them happy. Or, man, I got a problem, and I got to fix it. See, if they were that way, they wouldn't have gotten enough in the first place. That's the thing. It's a product of a mindset that would be inclined to say they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, right.
They're never going to be happy.
Yeah.
They're always going to complain about something. Right. Hey, you got an F, baby. Yeah. You better do something about it. If you care about that, that's why I think this is a great thing that the NFLPA is doing. It is giving the players a voice, and it is holding owners accountable when there is never a way to hold them truly accountable. You still can't fire them, but, man, you can put an F on them. You can put an F minus on them, and that's an embarrassment to Clark Hunt.
So it is, and it's,
he can say whatever he wants himself or anyone else. That is an embarrassment for Clark Hunt.
The pressure's on him for sure now, right, and he's an owner, I believe, that is not always there in the facility. Right, he lives in Dallas, Texas, for most of the week, and then I know he's there at times and whatever else. But yeah, they put him on notice. There's no doubt about it. And hey, having been in the Kansas City Chiefs facility a few times over the last few years, it's not up to par with some of the good ones. It's not what you would expect. And of course, they don't have some great huge stadium. They're still old stadium, all of that type of stuff. But I think this is one where Mahomes, Kelce, Chris Jones, the players here, they're going to spark a fire under the Hunt family here, and I would be shocked if he doesn't try to address this.
We'll see. We'll find out next year.
Who got the best grades? It was
the Vikings and the Dolphins.
Right.
Steven Ross got an A.
Well, he doesn't seem like he's scared to spend money.
Maybe doing that waddle is enough. Getting a little cutaway.
Well, waddle.
Him doing that
he's
awkward.
He's giving stars money, so they're in the locker room going, oh, I like the
owner.
Look at this. Yeah.
I
think he's got a head coach who is cutting edge in a lot of these areas, too, that's probably pushing him that way. But I think one of the biggest things is, the coach sets the aura in the facility. And then if there's the other things to match it, the players, will be extremely happy.
That gives me flashbacks.
That gives you flashbacks?
Yeah.
I would expect yours to look like that, yeah. Mr. Carnegie and Mellon. Yeah. Mine didn't quite look like that. I had a few years that looked like that.
I'll tell you this.
Right?
Mine did not look like that at Carnegie Mellon.
Oh, well,
at least not for the first couple of years. It was a rude awakening. I say this all the time.
Right.
18, 19 is the worst age to expect a human being to take studies seriously.
Definitely.
And I was like militant against it. Like I refused Friday and Saturday is my time.
Yeah, right.
And then you get the report card. It's like, damn, why do I have a?
I got to cut into my time a little bit.
2.8. All right,
yeah, I hear you.
Let's take a break. Connor Rogers joins us next here from Indianapolis at the Scouting Combine.
We'll be right back.
You might not think that a few simple words could make you crave McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, but if you listen closely to the sound of me saying McGriddles, McMuffin, you might be wrong. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have ever seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. Five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
The last one from Greg Jackson, or according to Pete, could be Florio. My wish is for Sims to work a full week on
football.
Oh,
how dare you? Well, pay me that extra day, Greg. Greg will get you, you know, I'll work that extra day. You pay it for me, man.
What happened? You actually took a day off?
Well, no, like, you know, this time of the year, I go 4 days a week.
Yes, you don't do the Fridays.
Right,
yes,
so
yes.
So we have 4 days, you know, 4 days. This week, I'll go Tuesday through Friday. I didn't do today.
Well, you also do Sunday Night Football.
So you do
work a full week.
Well, during the season, but this time of the year, I don't. They got a little graphic they play on the show with me in the hammock and a pina colada and hanging out, living the good
personal
life. Right. But I don't know yet. We'll see. We'll see if cheap-ass Florio will pay me that extra day. I'm down. But Florio's f***ing cheap. He's cheap, so I don't know if that's going to happen.
See, I should be upset that you would say something like that behind my back, but the reality is
face.
You say it to my face. I do the same thing. If you're not around and I'm talking about you,
right.
It's like, I'm saying exactly what he would say if he was here, so
right.
I don't feel bad about
each other.
It.
Yeah, I know. We spend too much time together to have secrets from each other. I mean, damn, we're texting all the time. We're on TV talking all the time. Like, he's my work wife.
Yeah, 100%.
My work wife.
I feel like I don't see you guys apart very often at this point.
That was painful. Does he do that
call
to you,
HR.
Connor? Connor Rogers
I don't
is
get
here.
Connor as much, but Connor's got muscles,
Chris
so
is
I don't
too
mess
nice.
With him.
Chris is too nice to me. Just I deal with all my stuff from Barry, and Chris knows that, so he gives me a little bit of a break.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
He's got this thing where he will clamp his leg. I don't want to encourage you to do it. I don't need a demonstration. But he clamps his hand onto your leg and squeezes, and that
the Vulcan
death
ray.
Actually hurts. Right. That actually causes a reaction of pain in my body. All right, so
draft expert right here.
All right,
man.
Well, let's hear about
I mean,
it. Let's
this
go.
Is my, this is my
Hot
guy.
Seat.
You know,
let's
we
go
way back here. So yeah, let's pick his brain a little bit. He's
How
been
far
helping
back
me.
Do you go?
Well, he worked at Bleacher Report.
My first job.
First
wow.
job.
My first
ever.
Real job.
He was just some little like nerd in the room, like typing stuff, and then
would,
he was always inquisitive. And
knock on the glass
football.
And be like, "Hey, Chris, here's." 10 ideas, 10 numbers, whatever you want. And
yeah, he was
I learned a lot from this guy when I was 22.
I could tell he was all in.
Yep.
All right, so I'm not shocked to see him here at the table with us.
So he came to NBC knowing you were here despite having experience with you in the past.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, maybe he didn't have a lot of work options, so he was just like, I got to come here and deal with Sims. That's
all right, so let's talk about the draft then.
Yeah.
We got fill in the blank. We'll start with this. Player I'm most – or players I'm most excited to see work out here – are who?
I think two wide receivers and Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU and Troy Franklin from Oregon because all we do when we're here is hear Marvin Harrison Jr. He's not going to do anything. He doesn't have to. Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, right?
Right.
These two guys should go in the first round.
Yeah.
And I think their landing spots are more exciting, like a Buffalo, like a Kansas City where the impact could be insane. They're both tall, but they're both going to run in the 4.3s. They're going to jump through the roof.
They're going to run like that?
I think
LSU
so.
Kid Thomas is going to run
4.3. I think so. I mean, this is a dude, I was telling you, Chris, he was the player of his state championship basketball game.
Right.
So this is a different athlete, really different. He's not getting the same attention because he was in the offense with Malik Nabers, with Jaden Daniels. But he's, I mean,
he looks the part.
I call him special.
I mean, yeah.
I really think they left yards on the field for him because he'd get so open
that
he'd have to kind of turn around and wait for the ball a little
bit.
And then Franklin, I mean, Bo Nix was a good quarterback in college, and Franklin was the dude in that offense. But I feel like not enough people watch Oregon.
Yeah.
Enough. He's been really good for 2 years. These are legit burners. Franklin reminds me of Will Fuller, almost a clone.
Okay.
But I think he can carry a little bit more weight in the future.
Okay. Thinner frame, that type of guy.
Yep.
So your guy, Brian Thomas, though, I mean, that if he runs a 4.3, I know everyone's kind of got him in the late first round. It kind of feels like
top
that'll,
15.
That'll change
I really
the
think
game,
so.
Right?
I think if Jacksonville loses Calvin Ridley, that's the guy I take. I sprint the card in.
Okay. One other thing here, too, that I want to ask you about, because you brought up the name, and I just something, again, I'm not diving in here yet, but the Romeo Odunze, right? I did a Washington game I announced against earlier this year against Michigan State. I saw him in person. He's a damn good player.
Yep.
Is he explosive enough to be a top 10 pick? That would be my one question off of TV scouting and things like that. Like, what's he? Because right now, he's going six. He's going
five.
Yeah,
it's too rich. It's a little rich.
And I'm like,
me.
That's only for special receivers. And I don't know if I see that.
He doesn't run away from people like Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers do, right? That's the difference. And everybody's going to tell you about his high school track background, and he's going to test well here. But on the field, in the pack, he doesn't run away from guys like those other guys
do. Okay, yeah,
he's going to have to win in contested catch situations. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to win with a little bit more
route
nuance.
Running,
yes,
right.
Insanely hard worker. Worked out with the Washington basketball team in the offseason to work on that above the rim ability.
Right.
But there's a tier there. There's a gap there.
Okay.
I have him more in the 10 to 15 range. While Malik and Marv, no brainer, top five, borderline top three players in this draft.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, when you talk about these receivers, Connor, it reminds me of just this dynamic I think we're still working through, where receiver is kind of becoming like running back.
Yeah.
Where it's going to be harder for receivers who have experience to get compensated properly. You're going to have a small group that do, and then the rest of them, hey, why are we going to pay this guy $15-20 million a year when we can just go draft? Because every year, just like with running backs, every year there's guys that are coming in that can get it done.
And Minnesota really got my brain spinning on this one when they were willing to trade Diggs. And yes, this is a rare example, but then they draft Justin Jefferson, and that's not, you know, you can't repeat that.
No, it's hard.
But I look at the Bengals.
Like the Titans tried to do it with A.J. Brown and
Traylon
Burks, right?
Perfect failure example.
This is one of the reasons why I think the Vikings, even though Kevin O'Connell says they're not thinking about it, they got Jordan Addison last year. So you could move on from a Justin Jefferson in theory if you're valuing the quarterback position as something where it's more rare and more difficult to get a great player.
Right. One more thing I want to hit on with the receivers. Why isn't the kid from Michigan – all right, Jerome Odunze, I'm sorry I said that wrong. But why isn't Roman Wilson, that's why I got it wrong there, why is he not?
It's coming.
It's coming.
It started at the Senior Bowl. I mean, it really started when he won a national title.
Well, I mean,
you're
seeing him against the elite teams, and you're going, he's getting open against everybody.
I think it's size.
Right?
I think this is a big wide receiver class.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of 6'3", 6'4"-ish. But another dude that can run away from people, the one-handed catches, really explosive. He was the only guy at the Senior Bowl that could beat Quinyon Mitchell, who's going to be a top 20 pick as a corner.
Right.
So that jumped out to me right away.
He's the Toledo guy? Who's Quinyon Mitchell?
Toledo. Yeah, right. Okay. So Roman Wilson, I think he's going in the second round when everyone thought fourth to fifth. He's had that kind of year.
I would see that for sure.
All right, next up, the film I've enjoyed watching most during draft prep is who?
A guy you guys got to talk to, Leatu Latu. You just don't see a college pass rusher that complete. He can counter. He's got all these different moves he'll try, spin, cross chop.
Right.
You hear him talk. He's a really smart dude. And the adversity he dealt with, I mean, medically retired from Washington. So had to restart his football life. And he plays like that. He plays like, this is my last snap of football.
What were you saying yesterday?
It's evident on the film.
Right.
And then another defender, Tavondre Sweat, because they just don't make, 380-pound humans that can – he could stop the run, he could two-gap, he could sit in the middle,
but he can push the pocket.
I mean, and I asked him yesterday, I'm like, what was the deal with the jump and pass rush ability? I was like, I knew you could always stop the run. You go from 3 sacks to 8 sacks.
Right.
You go to the Senior Bowl, he's forklifting people in one-on-ones. He's like, less school. He's like, I was interning this year. He's like, I'd been at this was his fifth year at Texas. He's like, I had less to worry about with school. I was focused on my internship, and I was basically playing football most of the time.
That's right.
And, I mean, it's real.
Yeah.
The ability with his hands, his
strength.
Why
guys get better in the NFL.
Right. And he said that to me. He was like, I cannot wait to get to the NFL to just be playing football because I got so much better this year when that started.
We see guys like this get undervalued, I think, every year, right? I kind of talked to him about this on Monday. The Vita Veas, right? Some of these guys, the Jordan
you
Davis.
Dexter Lawrence.
Dexter
too.
Lawrence, right? Oh, they're so big, but there's no pass rush value. And then you go, wait, Dexter Lawrence is like one of the best pass rushers in football last year. I mean, period. I mean, so I always feel like people miss on that a little bit just because it's not sexy and athletic in quite the same way. But in the NFL, man, there's value. Is there any, let me hear you. You know me, I love kamikaze. You know, right? Last year, you told me you were like, you're going to love watching Devin Witherspoon. You know what I like? I like psychos in a good way that I'll do whatever and just fly around. Is there anybody that, is maybe raw, maybe not getting the attention, but you go, wait, he's got some freaky traits and it's kind of fun to watch the film?
I think Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker from Texas A&M.
Okay.
He's a dude that he's obsessed with Fred Warner and because that's his game. You can kick him out to the slot, overhang, play him in the middle, sideline to sideline.
Right.
He just wants to be that positionless kind of player, but he's built like a linebacker.
Yeah, gotcha.
You talked to him yesterday. I mean, he hunts boar like a real country guy.
Right.
He's all about football. He's
right.
a really exciting dude. But with guys like that, the instincts are catching up, and they are. They're getting a lot better. But if you go to a scheme, you think Jets, 49ers, yeah. Houston Texans.
Simple, just attack the
ball. Run and chase,
right.
be an
no,
athlete.
Right.
He's that kind of kamikaze.
Gotcha.
Players that should be getting more buzz are...
Ooh, that's a really good one. I think Ricky Pearsall from Florida, another wide receiver. I know we're hammering the wide receivers here, but that's a guy that gets lost in the class, right? Because
Definitely.
There's
I mean,
too many freaks.
Watching TV this year, I was like, damn, number three on
right.
Florida is good.
6'1", 190, so right. nothing special. But when you can get open, great release package, good speed, and everyone's looking at him and going, okay, average size. I think he's going to jump through the roof here. I think he's going to run 4.4. I mean, he's somebody that could play inside, outside. I didn't think Florida's passing offense while he was there was anything
Nothing
special.
Special
Even
definitely.
With Anthony Richardson, right. they could really run the ball and pick their spots throwing. Nobody could cover him at the Senior Bowl. He catches legitimately everything. I think he was just as good as Roman Wilson that week.
Right.
This dude is a really good player. I'd take him in the second round. I'm hearing he's going to go in the fourth. I think that's going
to
correct itself after this week.
How hard is it to project, though? When I think back all the way to Desmond Howard, who gets the NFL. Oh, can't get off the line of scrimmage. Like, these guys who can get open on a consistent basis at the college level, all of a sudden, L'Jarius Sneed is giving the Tyreek Hill treatment, jamming him into the ground. Like, we just don't know until they get there and have to deal with that.
Right, and that's where you start to value, who do I need to give a free release to? I mean, that's on the offensive coaching, and who can go out there and just be that guy?
Yeah.
And it makes the people like that so much more valuable. Like, if I play Marvin Harrison on the outside against the L'Jarius Sneeds of the world, well, he's 6'4", he's strong, he runs perfect routes, he tracks the ball, he's going
to
win.
It's going to be risky for L'Jarius to go crazy.
Right, but if I throw the typical slot player out there, when the hands are on him for the first time, they're like, whoa, this is a different game.
Right.
That's where you start to value guys you take in the first round and guys that you're going to have to scheme around in this
Too. Yeah, find bunches, find stacks, help those guys
Everything
out.
Everything McDaniel does.
But the guys you're talking about, right, like the guys you're going that are special, they don't need that. You know, they don't. And you can see that. And the biggest thing is predicated on one thing. We kind of had this conversation on Monday, too. Can you scare the shit out of the DB to make him think I'm going for 70 over the top, right? Yeah. You know, we talk about Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, and Tyreek Hill, which to me is, and A.J. Brown, I would say, are my four favorite receivers, best receivers in football. And the biggest thing is the nine route, the go route, they scare everybody. So it leaves everything else open. That's what a lot of the talent's predicated on. And wait, I was going to make the point. I mean, he says the draft is deep at receiver, right? To what you're saying, I mean, I'm with you in the thought that the value of the receiver can fall here.
I had 14 in the top 75.
Right.
I was telling you, Chris, when I did that, I'm like, all right, let's go through this again. That's too heavy.
Yeah.
And then you start to talk to other guys that do this, and they're just running into the same exact thing.
Right.
So this is a product of the 7-on-7 era, all these freak shows at wide receiver. They are pretty pro-ready because all they do is play football, it feels
and
like.
And throw the ball. Nobody runs the damn ball.
So now you have a surplus of wide receivers where everybody's screaming for us to get some offensive line help in this league.
Yeah.
Yeah, that 7-on-7 thing is huge. That was when we first kind of detected several years ago this influx of guys who are ready to go right out of the gates. All those quarterbacks throwing, somebody's catching.
High schools are having spring practice now. It's all helped out, the quarterback-receiver combo.
Next up, there will be blank quarterbacks taken in round one.
I'd set it at 4.5. I'll tell you right now, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. McCarthy, they're gone. They're locked in. It's a matter of where they go. I think all of them go in the top 15. The two variables are Bo Nix and Michael Penix. Penix here with the medical, going to be a big deal.
Right.
And then with Bo, I think it's just how do you value that kind of player that isn't as physically gifted as a lot of these guys, but was the best against pressure, got a lot better throughout his time at Oregon,
really improved.
Ran a flawless offense,
and
he'll do really well with the board work and everything here, so you don't worry about that. So how do you value that kind of player?
One of those two sneak into the late first round.
Right. I would say one does. Right. We don't know which one, so I'd say five quarterbacks in the first round, which is a lot.
That is a lot. And you think J.J. McCarthy is going to be a top 15?
I do. You have that slate where Denver, Minnesota, and the Raiders are all together.
Right.
It just feels like somebody in that cluster goes, okay, we might sit him.
Yeah.
You should sit him.
Right.
But we're going to take him here because this is our shot.
What do you think McCarthy's going to weigh in at?
I'm hoping he's at least 210. Right. He played at 195.
It looked like
he's
it.
Slender. He's tall.
Yeah.
He can carry the weight.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and you see how these guys put on weight. But
yeah, he's a young kid still.
I'd say 210.
I met him early in the year. He's a young kid, right? It's like he just hit puberty a few weeks ago.
It feels
like.
Hey, your and guy Jim Harbaugh says he's the top quarterback. He also wrote the check that he's going first overall when it's all said and done.
I think
that's going to be a challenge.
Yeah,
I
don't think that's happening.
It's a long odds.
That's not going to happen. But he's an athlete. I think we both think he could probably run high 4.5-ish.
He can fly.
He can run. And then his arm, right, watching him Sunday afternoon, he can throw. I mean, he can throw it. He really can. His motion gets a little long at times, but the arm power is worthy of a first-round pick. That is for sure.
Aside from quarterback's position group that's strongest in the draft is, you've already said receiver, give me another one.
I think the offensive line is deep, which is great. And it's not just the tackles. We'll have about 5 to 6 go in the first round. You got a great center class. You got three centers that are going in the top 45 easily. They could even go earlier than that. And then you got the flex guys. They could play guard. They
could
got the guard
tackle,
body.
Not sure.
They
right.
got the feet to play tackle.
Right.
There's a ton of guys like that. Troy Fontenot from Washington's a top 20 player.
Yeah.
But he's got not the arms, but the body of a guard. He really knows how to drop his hips, unlock that hip power. So I would say the offensive line class is really deep, and you got the guys that have played a lot of football, the guys that haven't but have all-world traits. Tyler Guyton, one-year starter from Oklahoma. He's going to go in the first round.
Right.
This is a talented offensive line class, and the league absolutely needed it.
Well, how about DBs? Is there depth there?
Corner. Safety.
Yeah.
At corner, there's depth.
Damn, safety is a few years here. It's just not a ton of guys.
It feels like the guys that get thrown to safety were guys that just didn't trust their speed at corner.
Yeah.
And then you go to they're not being asked to do anything special.
Right.
They're either living in the box or they're sitting in a two-shell. The day of, you know, hey, we play you single high 70% of the time, you got to read sideline to sideline.
Yeah.
You don't see college kids asked to do that anymore.
Right. So you think corner's got some depth, but maybe not the high-end guys that are
one or two could sneak into that top 20.
You're right.
Mitchell from Toledo, Tyrion Arnold from Alabama, Nate Wiggins from Clemson. But picks 20 through 40, I mean, we'll get 7 corners taken.
Which one of, like, again, you're so into this, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm going to, like, receiver, DB, running back, who's the guy out there right now that's like, watch out when he runs the 40? He has a chance to go 4.2, right?
Ooh.
Is there a guy that's got that buzz this year?
I haven't seen it from a running back.
Right.
From corner, they're going to fly.
Yeah.
Mitchell from Toledo, they're saying 4.3s, which is wild. It's 6 feet, 205 pounds.
Right.
Wiggins from Clemson, 6.2. I think he runs in the 4.3s.
Right.
And then you get into the guys that Cooper DeJean from Iowa would have ran really well. He's still hurt, so he's coming back from that. We'll see what Tyrion Arnold from Alabama can run. It's going to be a really fast corner class. I think out of the only guy that's going to go 4.2s that I feel good about is Anthony Gould from Oregon. He's a returner.
Okay.
But, I mean, you're thinking 4.28 kind of player.
Nobody's going to challenge CJ2K or John Ross.
I'll go back to Troy Franklin from Oregon.
Okay.
I really think 4.29, 4.28's in play for a 6'3" wide receiver.
That's a different – I mean, hey, listen, 4.2 and 4.3, there's a difference there.
Yes.
That's rare.
This dude, it's like he's got a cape on when he runs.
You.
Last
got
one, team that will be most aggressive during the draft – is, in your opinion, who?
If they're allowed to be, and not by their own team, but somebody actually answers the phone, the Raiders, they want a quarterback. They want a guy. But it's a reality that the Bears aren't going to move. Washington's not going to move.
Mm-hmm.
New owner, he's here at the quarterback interviews. They're going to take a guy. Will New England move? If New England answers the phone, the Raiders, to me, would be the team that says, here's 3-1s. We don't care.
Right.
We need our guy. You got to realize with Antonio Pierce, coached Jaden Daniels in high school, recruited Jaden Daniels to Arizona State.
Right.
Jaden Daniels is there at 3, and that relationship is still what we think it is.
Right.
Why not sell the house for the future of your franchise?
That was one of those
missing
things. Pierce said earlier this week they don't want a Band-Aid solution. They want to draft a guy.
Yeah.
They want a proven winner. I mean, he was going on and on. Like, too many boxes to check.
Right.
Well, that was the mistake we thought McDaniels made, right? Josh McDaniels. That was one of my things. They should have traded up for the quarterback last year. And, you know, I've heard things there that, you know, the front office didn't want to make the move. The coaches were kind of like, no, we want to move up to get one of these quarterbacks.
No, they thought they could make C.J. Stroud slide.
Maybe that, too.
Possibly.
I know, right.
Possibly.
Right. Yeah, kind of shocking, though. But, yeah, they do need to make an aggressive move. I hear you there.
I think he's aware of the shelf life of coaches and GMs in the NFL. Just sell the picks and get a guy, and we go out swinging.
Yeah.
He has that awareness.
Yeah.
And played in the league.
Right.
These other guys, they kind of – even the Bears have done it. They've really tiptoed around that situation.
Definitely.
But eventually, you got to take the swing.
Yeah, well, they're about to swing.
You got to go up there and swing
and tell us all that they're drafting Caleb Williams at 1.
Yep. Connor, great stuff.
Thanks so much
nice
for having
jacket.
Me.
Nice jacket. Can't hide money.
Whoa. He's styling, man. He's so cool. We can't mess with Connor.
We'll be back to wrap up this Thursday edition of PFT Live right after this. by noon by the time we finish and go back. Are we back? We are back. I can't hear Connecticut, but we're back. Pete says we're back, so we're back. I have a thought on something that occurred to me while we were talking about the receivers. Marvin Harrison not working out.
Yeah, right.
Marvin Harrison doesn't have an agent. That's been obscured.
Him
in
and
the whole
Caleb Williams,
Caleb
right
Williams
now, right?
thing. And we've been waiting for Caleb Williams to make a power play. Everything he's said indicates there will be no power play from Caleb Williams. Do we know there won't be a power play from Marvin Harrison? Do we know that he'll say yes to whoever drafts him? That he won't work behind the scenes to make it? He has a father in place to be the one who takes the heat like Archie Manning did 20 years ago for Eli.
Yeah.
If he even cares about that.
Yeah.
Could he be a guy who says, I got my NIL money in the bank. I'm not going to play for you. I'll sit out for a year. And because he hasn't hired an agent, I'm trying to get a clear answer to this. I had one agent tell me that this is the way it is, but I'm not ready to say this is exactly the way it is. But if you don't hire an agent, can you say, I'll just go to the highest bidder in the NCAA. I'll go back to Ohio State or anywhere else. All these court rulings are making it clear they can't tell these kids where they can and can't go.
Yeah.
He could go to any school he wants, make far more money than he's going to make in the first year of a rookie contract as the third overall pick or the second overall
really?
Pick.
Really? He's going to make like – they're going to get $20 million the first year. Like,
no, they, well –
when
well,
it comes
okay.
to the signing bonus, they're going to get like $20-something million. Okay. Dollars. And they're going to get closer. I can't even believe you're saying this. And they're going to get closer to their second contract to get that going.
But my point is we've been thinking that Caleb Williams is the guy who may make the power play.
Right.
My point is could it be that Marvin Harrison is – preparing for one, and we're just not paying attention. And I don't know how much time we have left. I'm
we have 90 seconds.
Connecticut,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
Pete, count
90,
me out.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I thought of that earlier because we've been focused on, will Caleb Williams do it? I just think we need to keep an eye on whether or not Marvin Harrison Jr. has a surprise in store for somebody if somebody that he doesn't want to play for is going to draft him.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know.
And I support it. I'm not saying,
we
watch
know,
out.
We know you support
I'm saying,
it. Yeah.
Go.
Right.
Do it.
Yeah.
Stick it to him.
I don't see
ass.
That happening. I think it's as simple as this. I really think it's as simple as this. I think some of these top guys, right, have got to, what do you have to do for me, agent? What are you going to do right now? What? Just take some money?
Well,
I mean, that's what you're going to do.
You make sure they get drafted as high as possible.
But I know, but those
need that.
That's what I'm saying. And I think that's what it is. I think these are two guys that are just like, I'm going to save the 3% right now. I'm already locked in. I'm going top five no matter what. The agent's not going to help anything out this time around. And I think that's where they are. So, I don't know. I mean, listen, I hear your thought. It's always interesting. I get you, but I don't think it's going
to
happen.
We're going to be talking to a bunch of defensive backs.
It's an honor and a privilege
today.
To be in the NFL. Yes. Football is family.
We'll be
NFL.
Back tomorrow
NFL.
Morning at 7 a.m. Eastern.
Draft.
Enjoy your
draft.
Thursday.
Combine. Draft.
I'm going to beat him up.
No free enterprise.
Friday. Friday. It's almost like whoever named Friday knew it should be celebrated with free fries. Free Fries Friday at McDonald's. Get a free medium fries with any purchase of a dollar or more on the McDonald's app. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Offer valid through 9/30 to participate in McDonald's excludes tax.